So I'm going to ask a couple of questions, but if you get the answer right, you don't get a sweet. You get a packet of Kit Kats. Wow. All right? All right. But you've got to be young to answer this question. And by young, I mean less than 99. All right? Because I thought I've got to include Elaine, so I can't remember what her age was. So I thought, I'll up it a bit. So the thing is, Kit Kats are important to... Are we the only ones that do the Kit Kats?
Yeah.
This is unique to Weymouth, Kit Kats. Street passers are known for lollies. My goodness, do we give out some lollies. Bear in mind the lollies in a minute. But Weymouth, we give out Kit Kats also to the door staff, the taxi drivers, just to let them know we're thinking about them also, because sometimes they are an important part of the nighttime economy, in especially in Weymouth. So we just want them to know that we're thinking of them. I mentioned that street passers are famous for lollies. Right. We give out a few. And was it just before Christmas, the year before last, wasn't it? We had our 50th anniversary. I hadn't joined Weymouth at that point, but I'd been down a few times, so they invited me to attend their 15th anniversary service for the street passers in Weymouth. It was a great time. Why they would invite me, I don't know. They still want me going back. But there was an interesting statistic about how many lollies have been given out just in Weymouth in those 15 years. If you can get within 1,000, you can have the whole packet of Kit Kats, all right? But there is a catch. You can only have one yourself. You have to give the others away to people. Me and Andrew are not allowed to be in that because we get enough of them anyway, all right? So in 15 years of street passes, bear in mind, we got Friday nights, Saturday nights. How many lollies do you think they gave out in those first 15 years? If they'd had the good lollies, and I'd been on shift, there'd have been a lot more, but they don't have the good ones. I like the sherbet ones. Do you know the... Yeah. So let's have a few guesses to see who can get closest to how many we gave out. Close. I was having this discussion with you the other week and I told you the answer and you've forgotten already. See, Andrew doesn't turn up when I ask him to do a reading. So I didn't ask him, so he'd turn up. So it's... No, getting closer. Not even close. Still going up. You're getting slightly lukewarm now. Sorry? Spot on. That man gets a whole pack of Kit Kats. 120,000. This is only an estimate based on, I think he said it was based on, they buy these tubs of lollies and there's 200 in a thing. And I think some weeks we get through one a night.
Each bag's about 3 kilos.
Yeah, so we get through a lot of lollies because it's amazing. And But it's great that we can just walk out and people say, lollies! So we give them out. There is a reason it's to do with helping keep their blood sugars up sometimes when they've drunk too much. But it's also a great way of them seeing that we're not a threat. We're good people. And it often opens up some conversations about which Andrew will maybe speak about in a little while. So let's don't forget Kit Kats, right? That man back there, 120,000. As I said, if they'd had the good lollies, it might have been a bit more, because I'm a self-appointed quality controller on those lollies. We can't give out lollies we haven't tested. So let's stand and sing our second hymn, 757, after which Andrew will come and speak to you about the work as well. I'll just give you a little bit of a background as to who this fella is. His name's Andrew. He's been with Weymouth since the beginning, pretty much.
5 years, I
think. Oh, both. He's not that experienced, really. With Weymouth, yes. But he's also, I consider someone as a good friend. Complete pleasure to work with. Fun at times. Probably a little bit too much sometimes. Especially if there's a pink hat. But he's also on our committee and is currently our current coordinator. I was going to say chairman, but that's not. So Andrew will come and talk about the street pastors and from his perspective and give you a little bit of history maybe on Weymouth and what we do.
Thanks for inviting me round. I think we've mentioned the word street pastor quite a lot now. Weymouth is a unique place when it comes to the nighttime economy. We have stag do's, we have hen nights, we have works parties. It's very rarely not busy. This time of year, you know, people are getting over Christmas, they haven't got the money to spend. But all the pubs and clubs were open last night. We finished fairly early because there wasn't much happening. Now, Street Pastors was formed by a guy called Les Isaac. He was a vicar in Jamaica, and they found that the nighttime economy in Jamaica was very, very dangerous. So he gathered together his churches, and they all went out on the streets, and it made a huge difference because despite the violent criminals and the, you know, they still believe in God, and they revere the local padres and vicars. So they calmed it down a bit. And when he moved over here, he thought he formed the Ascension Trust. Now, the Ascension Trust is the banner we operate under. They're based in London. All our training is done by the Ascension Trust. So we are all street pastors. We're in 427 towns throughout the UK. We all do the same training. All mandated by the Ascension Trust, all based on Jesus' word. So we are, people often ask, oh, are you Christians? Oh, yeah, it's in the name. And then we get into conversations. We're not there to preach, but if they want us to preach, we will. You know, I always carry a New Testament in my back pocket. I've given away about 7. The kids love them. I don't know whether it's because they're using the papers for results or what. I don't know, but at least I've got a Bible into their hands. Now, street pastors, we are, we're all volunteers. And that speaks, you know, big to the local people. Oh, how much do you get paid for that? We're all volunteers. What, you give up your night time, regardless of the weather, on a Friday and Saturday night? Why? And that's the question you get asked all the time, isn't it? Well, because Jesus loves you, and we're here to make sure that we call it the church has left the building. So we're out on the streets, and we are looking after people, just showing Jesus love, you know? And they're no more vulnerable. You get the young ladies and the young gents. They've had a bit too much to drink. They don't know what's going on. And when we come around the corner, they're like, oh, street pastors are here, thank goodness. So we can talk to them. We can give them a bit of encouragement. I treat them all as if I would treat my daughter. So it's respect and love. Just showing Jesus' love on the streets. And that sometimes is all it takes. We do prayer for people. Some people do ask for prayer, and we'll just pray on the street. It took me a long time to get my head around that because I'm not very good at praying out loud. So it's been a learning journey for myself. A little bit about myself. I spent 27 years in the Royal Navy Submarine Service. So I've had a slightly different life, but it's given me, having to deal with young lads and that sort of, it's given me a unique perspective to treating the kids on the streets. I say kids, but it's not always kids. You know, we've got 30-year-olds who forget that they can't wear heels anymore, you know, and they're out, which is why we carry flip-flops. We carry water because people get dehydrated. The lollies add, when you're drinking, your blood sugar levels drop. So to keep their blood sugars up, we give them a lollipop. We don't have to give them. They come from street pastors, lolly, and they come from all over. You do get the odd, you know, what you're doing, giving sweets out to kids at night. You know, you're going to get those people. I've been called a paedophile more times than you could possibly think. Big shoulders, 27 years in the submarine service, I've been called more. So my job as a team leader, Gerald's job as team leader, is to look after your team. We go out, team, hopefully 2 gents and 2 ladies. because the ladies deal with the ladies, and that's very important for safeguarding. So there's nothing worse than trying to pick a lady who's in her cups, and you know, ooh, you touched my boob. And that is my worst nightmare. So we have CCTV coverage. Ladies deal with the ladies. Gents deal with the gents. And my job and Gerald's job is to stand back and protect the team. Because you get people coming in from left field. Oh, I know him. I know her. You know, we're dealing with this. And then you can ask questions. Who are they? What are they doing? But the primary job of a team leader is to protect the team. Now, I never realised how what we do on the streets gets us attacked by the enemy. So before we go out, we have about 15 minutes worth of prayer. Just to ask for protection from the Lord. Put us where he needs us to be, not where we need to be. And he does. He certainly comes through with that, doesn't he? But when we're on the streets, it's all team together. Nobody goes off to do their own thing. It's all about the protection. When we come back in after a patrol, we spend about 15, 20 minutes in prayer, thanking the Lord for giving us a peaceful night, whatever, praying for those who we met, praying for those who are vulnerable, that we've cared for, and just giving it all up to God. Hopefully, not taking what you've seen on the streets back to your bed and then you're spinning around for ages. So, you know, it's very important to give it up to God. So, basically, it's very, very rewarding. You get to see people that are the most vulnerable, but you're there to help. They understand that and they appreciate it. What was it you said? 9 years and you've been a street pastor in Yeovil? And that first night out in Weymouth, you'd had more hugs than you'd had in 10 years. We don't preach. We don't preach, but we have we got a huge set of guidelines. It's up to the team leader, basically, whether he feels the team's safe. And when you've got a crowd of people running at you for lollipops, sometimes trying to stop them giving you a hug is very difficult. I'm a hugger, so... But I agree with you. In this day and age, you've really got to be careful what you're doing, which is why we're covered by CCTV. We don't go anywhere out with the CCTV. When we first start, we radio in to say that we're out, we're coming out, so they know we're on the street. We have a code where if you look directly at the CCTV and take your hat off in a deliberate manner, means you're in trouble, they will send the nearest door staff to you. I'm a big fella. I spent many years in the armed forces, but I can't use that. Not while wearing this. So we have our protection from the door staff. Another reason we give them Kit Kats. Kit Kats are, you know, lollipops, but the Kit Kats go to the door staff, taxi drivers, police officers, ambulance drivers, anybody who's working in that sort of area. Now, the police... Now, as they're cruising up past the street pass, they stop and wind down the window. It's for a Kit Kat. But our ultimate protection on the street, regardless of where we are, what we're doing, is Jesus. And everything is done in his name. And he puts us in some various precarious... We had one a few weeks ago, and like Gerald, he said he never felt threatened before. But
that wasn't even that wasn't from the people we were dealing with. It was just something else that was going on at the same time.
That place needs prayed for.
It needs demolishing.
There's a hotel in the centre of Weymouth, and it's a kind of halfway house, and it's full of youth, vulnerable boys, vulnerable girls, and there seems to be nobody in charge, nobody looking out for them. And we got called in to remove a girl who had been held by a boyfriend in there. And we don't normally do that, but we felt God saying to us, you need to get her out of that situation. So we did, but it wasn't pleasant, was it? But other times, you know, we have New Year. 20,000 people on the streets in Weymouth on a new year. Everybody's in fancy dress. The atmosphere is fabulous. You know, I even saw a couple of years ago people with blue T-shirts with street pastors, white paper on. But it's very enjoyable. And if it's something you feel, sorry. Four in a team, hopefully four in a team. But sometimes we have observers. Sometimes we have people who are training, so they want to come out a little bit extra. Our new curate in Chickerell, where I live, Dan, he's an ex-Samaritan as well. He's decided he wants to be a street pastor, and his vicar has given him one weekend off a month, which you know how that works. So, like I say, we do take observers. If you ever find yourself down that way, you know, just give Gerald a call and say, look, can I come out as an observer to see what you do? So I've been on the radio. I've had Richard Drax. I've had Dave Sidwick, the police commissioner, out with us just to see what we do. And it's good stuff. It really is good stuff. But it's all in his name. It's not for our glory. And we pray that every time, don't we? That's why that's a secondary purpose for giving out lollies. It engages with people. They come over, oh, street pastors. And then we go into the senior schools in Weymouth because street pastors are on the RE curriculum. But it's the main headline from our website. So it's nothing specific. But if you've got street, Alison does a lot because she works in the church. She works in the school. We now take assemblies. And we teach the year 11s, year 12s how to be safe when they're out. We go into colleges. We do a lot of the charity events in Weymouth. You know, we've got our own stall and we can talk to people. But on an average night, you'll get asked loads of questions about why do you do this? And then you can explain, I do this to, I want to show Jesus' love to people. And we can do that practically. So the lollies are for engagement as well as to keep the blood sugars up. Like I say, I always carry a New Testament in my back pocket. It's getting a bit small for me to read these days. But of late, just up to Christmas, I'd say September up to Christmas, I've given out half a dozen. The kids are asking for them. So that after COVID and that, they are looking for something and they don't know what it is. So we try to kind of guide them into, you know, what we think they're looking for. So it's quite cold in here, isn't it? I'm not nervous. So, are there any further questions? I do.
You get on well, this is a question I know the answer to, but other people might not. You get on well with the local authorities and things like the police, the council.
The police love us. We saved the ambulance service over our 15 years, almost £1 billion. Because we have a safe space which operates from March through to the new year, to January. We can bring people in there, we've got two medics, we've got two security guards. So we can bring them in and they don't end up calling the ambulance, they don't call 101, we deal with them there and then. So they love us. The police love us because crime in Weymouth has gone right down since the street pastors have been, especially on a weekend. You know, if there's fights, and it's inevitably going to happen. We walk around the corner, everything stops. Oh, street pastors. So the authorities do love us. The council pay for our safe space. But they can only do it from March through to January. And this time of year, it's a bit slower anyway. But we do miss them. We do miss them. Having that backup where we can put get somebody off the street, put them in front of the professionals and go out and find some more. So... Sometimes I've been a big guy, and being fearless. I sometimes walk into a crowd of fighting lads with a fist full of lollipops. Nobody wants to fight when there's lollipops around. And then that becomes the third point of having lollipops. If it's in your mouth, you can't gob off. So it's, you read the crowd. If it's a situation you don't want to get involved in, then I have a radio straight to all the door staff. I've got a radio to CCTV, and we can ask for a zero unit, so we ask for the police to come down. And normally, a street pastor asks for a zero unit, they turn up. So, any further questions? Who wants to come out as an observer and see what we do? It's an interesting evening. Sadly, we do see it. Weymouth is the end of the line for the train. We have a lot of county lines. So they come down on the train, they cuckoo in a house of a vulnerable person. They sell their drugs from there. They do whatever else they're doing there. And then they get back on the train and go back to London or Manchester. So we do see it. I have a particular eye for those older gentlemen hanging around outside nightclubs, waiting for the drunk girls to come out. And I spot them a mile away. And we just sidle up. And we're just trying to deal with this girl. Oh, she's with me. Oh, is she? What's her name? Where does she live? Phone her on your phone. And then we'll see. And usually by that time, they have scarpers. So we had, just before lockdown, a white van full of men of Pakistani. And they were cruising around Weymouth. So we pointed them out to the door staff, we pointed them out to the police, and they chased them off. But it is sad to see, but we can spot them a mile away. And sadly, it's people my age, you know, looking for the young girls. So we scared them off just by being there. So we're not rude to them, and we never are, always polite. You don't want to give anybody anything that can come back at you. Oh, the street pastor said this. You know, splashed across the door, said Echo Street Pastor, does punches man or something. You don't want that. So you deal with the situation as God gives it to you, and he does. One of our big prayers is, Lord, put me where you need us, not where we need to be. And then it's like a spidey sense. It's the spirit talking to you, I'm sure of it. You're walking down past an alley and you think, why should I go up that alley, really? And you got there and you find somebody vulnerable. And God sent you, sent you there to be there. So if it's something you'd like to do, I would encourage it. Even if it's just for to come down to Weymouth. I know it's a long way to go, but there's Yeovil as well. Not as busy as we are. But just to spend a night, you know, we go out at 10, we finish about 3:30. So, and then you drive here. But he drives home every time, every night, when he's been out. And we have a particularly busy night, and, you know, he must be shattered. No, I normally roll over from my iPad, because I go to St. Albans in Weymouth, and they televise all the service, so I just flip over and just watch it live on when I've been out. So it's lazy, but it's still communion with God. We have a lot of fellowship within the street pastors, so you know, I don't feel I'm missing that out after I've been out for an evening. Any further questions?
How much contact do you have with the local churches?
There are 20 churches. There are 20 churches in Weymouth. But we do what's called a Street Pastor Sunday. We've got one coming up, I think, end of next month, where we ask the vicar or the pastor if we can just have 10 minutes. And then we go up and say, this is what we do. We're looking for volunteers. We find a lot of the older people may not have the capacity to go out in the streets. we have prayer pastors as well, and they are the people who are praying in the background while we're out on the streets. If we get a particularly troubling incident, then we'll phone them up and say, can we pray for this, please? And they will. But they can do that now from home instead of having to come into the big cold church. So I would say 90% of the churches we've got at least one person from. So, and the street pastor Sundays are pretty good for that. So, okay. Thank you.
You're older. Thanks, Andrew, for nicking half my sermon. But he's right. It's the scary thing is we, and it, thankfully it's in our rule, but we don't preach. We're not allowed to preach. We're not there to preach. We, as Andrew put it, that on the first thing I remember from my training day was, how do you describe street pastors? The church has left the building. We don't invite them in. We go to them where they are. So time is marching on a little bit, so I think we'll skip one. We'll sing another hymn now, but we'll go down to 590, if that's okay. Because the danger of getting a street pastor to talk about street pastors is that you need a four-hour church service. Well, you'll be thankful that Andrew spoke so long, because my two-hour sermon is now about 10 minutes because he stole half the points. But I do want to look at God's word for a bit, because I think why I chose that last hymn there is it talks about seeking God first, and everything we do out on the streets is about putting Him first. And Andrew talked about the times we have in prayer, and as a team leader, one of the most common prayers I pray for my team when we go out is that we would be lights in the darkness, because sometimes we're not just talking about the darkness of the streets, but sometimes the darkness in people's own lives. And it's great that the conversations we can have, because we give them a lollipop, or they come and say, Andrew mentioned, we get asked why, and because for me, the way I feel about it is that these people. A drunk person at 3 o'clock in the morning will not remember a word you've said to him or her. But I can almost guarantee they remember someone gave them a bottle of water. And they remember that person's face. But they come and ask us, and they say, look, will you help me? And why would you? And then they say, why? And that, because we're not allowed to preach on the streets, because that's not what we're there to do. We're there to meet the needs they're at. I want to look at a passage in Mark that where Jesus starts, looks not just at the spiritual need, but at the physical need. You see, we're going to look at very briefly at Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. Just a little bit of a background on that. The disciples had been sent out on a mission trip. They'd just come back. Jesus sent them out pretty much to say, look, right, you've had teaching now. I've given, shown you. Now go and do it. And as we're about to read, it seems they completely forgot what they'd seen, what they'd witnessed. So let's read very quickly Mark chapter 6, 30 to 44. The apostles returned to Jesus from the ministry tour and told him all that they had done and taught. Then Jesus said to him, let us go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore to get there ahead of them. Jesus saw the large crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus said, you feed them. With what? They asked. We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. How much bread do you have? He asked. Go and find out. They came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven and blessed them. Then he broke breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving bread to the disciples so they could distribute to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers, of bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. See, people talk about that as being when Jesus fed the 5,000. Well, actually, no, Jesus didn't feed 5,000. It was probably closer to 10, if not slightly more. But that's not the point. We've all been to church and we've all heard sermons on this passage, haven't we? We would normally hear about how the disciples appear to have forgotten completely everything. Right? They've been trained by the master and they've been out, they've done it, they've experienced it, they've come back and... Oh, hang on, they forgot. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to go back to... where has it gone? I've lost my word. See, when he next asked me sermon, I forget where I'm going now. I want to go back to that word, compassion. And the reason I want to go back to that compassion, I think, because Andrew would agree with me here that we all get some sort of revelation of compassion to do what we're doing, because without it, we couldn't. I know I couldn't. And I've been doing it now 11 years today, because on... the 11th of January 2014, I started training. I went down to Yeovil that night after a full day of Taunton to do a prayer shift, and that was the night Robert was born, our first grandson. So I know it's 11 years because it's his birthday today. But it's this word kept, and this word compassion would come up for me 3 times over the space of a week. You see, I'd heard about street pastors through a social media post. I'd never heard of them before or knew anything about them, and so I thought, okay, it kept coming up, so I looked them up a bit and started getting an insight as to what they do and why they do it, and I thought, well, yeah, that seems okay, but it didn't. But and I asked why would they do that, and like Andrew said, it's a question we get asked quite a lot. Why would you do this? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's raining hard. It's bitterly cold. Why are you there? And why is Andrew always in shorts? I have an answer, but he's too close. But it's the same question. We do it because we want people to not hear that Jesus loves them. Because as I said just now, they're not going to hear a word you said when they're drunk. But we want them to experience that, don't we? And we want them to experience that love. But I also want to very briefly touch on 3 points. It was an idea I had listened to radio a couple of weeks ago. It talks about our head knowledge, our heart knowledge, and our feet. And that is a whole sermon on its own. But those 3 points very briefly do decide and do show about what we're doing and why we're doing it. How we do it is because God equips us. And I said, I mentioned that word compassion and 3 times. And the first time that the compassion came up was once I decided that I wanted to definitely look at it more, I contacted Yeovil because that was my local team at the time. And they said, come out on observer night. So I did. And throughout that night, we were, it was down past Wetherspoons in Yeovil. There was a girl outside there. And for the first several times I've seen her, I had my dad hat on. Yeah, he knows. Because we see it all the time. Even now, it's this girl, it was a bitterly cold night, as it normally is. There's no such thing as a warm night on street pastors. And was she wearing a short skirt or just a belt? I mean, that's But she was trying to get back into this pub, and I kept saying, oh, girl, why are you out like this, dressed like this? It's cold. Because at this point, I didn't know what God was calling me to do. I can remember at some point, John, I just keep looking at this and the other situation we were looking at, and I said, God, what is it you want me to see? Then a few minutes later, when we went back around the block and she was still there, it was just suddenly, it was like, God is right. I had this, I describe it as an overwhelming wave of compassion came over me. It wasn't that I stopped seeing with my dad hat, and I started seeing what God was seeing. It's this vulnerable girl. And it was amazing. It was just indescribable. And I can remember then thinking, okay, I get in a picture of what they're doing. We're not looking at it as a parent. We look at it as God seeing a vulnerable person. And I can remember then praying for her in my head. And a little while later, we went back round and I thought, oh, she's gone home. It's God tapped on the phone. I said, you prayed for it. Why do you doubt? You prayed for her to go home and get warm and she's gone. Why? And I thought, yeah, okay. Hint number one. But I still wasn't convinced. And then a few days later in the week, I was reading this that passage we just read. And that word, compassion just popped right out the page and just smacked me. And I thought, you know, in the Bible, when God repeats something, people say, if it sits in the Bible, you're supposed to listen. God repeats it, you really should listen. If he repeats it a third time, slap, I told you to listen. And that's what happened on the following Sunday. I can't remember the hymn we were singing. Sorry? I don't know. I really don't know, because it may well have been. But I think it was the last line of the hymn, and it mentioned the word compassion. I can remember thinking, sitting there in the church, thinking, okay, God, I get the message. I'm going to do this. And this then became the journey to what I am now. So, you see, briefly looking at those points, you know, the head, the heart, and the feet. So I had a head knowledge, and there are a lot of people in a lot of churches who know about God. And I'm sure Andrew's had the same conversations we've had with many people, that they would say, oh, yeah, I know that God. I've been to church and stuff like that. So they know it up here. But I once heard it described, the journey from the head knowledge to heart knowledge is the longest journey. In reality, it's 30 centimetres. Yeah. So I think what happened there was I knew about it, as some people do, many people do, and then God moved that what he had been showing me and what I've been learning to a heart, so that it became something I began to feel. And when God gets your heart pumping and moving, your feet start moving, and like Andrew said, that it's, we're not there to preach. And I've forgotten what Mr. Sermon Notes are now, winging it now. But it's, the point really is for us is that we've been given an amazing heart filled with compassion for these people. Even that night in that hotel where I was genuinely scared that we were going to get clobbered. And it wasn't even in the situation we were dealing with. We were dealing with something else. Yes, I was scared we were going to get hurt. But I wasn't scared to be there. I knew there was, because Barbie was in there with me, wasn't she? And we kept looking at each other. There's no way we're leaving without her. And we could not have done that without God's compassion on us for her. We knew it was dangerous, potentially dangerous. And I should point out, situations like this are super rare. Very, very rare. It's the first time in 12 years, for me, 11 years. To give you an idea, I think I read somewhere once or was told only two street pastors have got hurt in active duty in 25 years, isn't it? I heard one of them was in Weymouth. So I think the one in Weymouth, they went to punch someone and missed them and caught her. Yeah, so this is why if there is a fight, we send Andrew in. Because it's strange how different teams work as well. I've worked with three different teams now. I've worked with Yeovil for many years. I've done Birkenhead for a night because good friends up there. And some team leaders will hear a fight on the radio. Oh, there's a fight over there, so we'll walk this way. In Birkenhead, they walk in and just start pulling people ahead back apart. Andrew, what a lolly. And it's true. If you go to someone and they're fighting, you stick a bunch of lollies, and they go, yeah, I'll have one of them. And it does. It's amazing how stuff. And it's not us. We've just got a uniform on. It's God that's put us in the uniform. I really sincerely believe it. And as Andrew was saying, it would be great if some of you would love to come and join us for one night. I will drive you down. I'll bring you back. That's it. But what I would also like to see is, it's the one thing I can't say this to our coordinator, but I'm going to say it, is that we don't have an active team, prayer team in the church at night, which in Yeovil, it was great because I often say that the most valuable tool we carry is this. I can remember on the coordinate when I went out for my observer night, this girl kept disappearing. I didn't know about the prayer team. She kept disappearing and off. I kept thinking, this girl needs to stop, get off her phone and start working. Then I found out, well, actually, she was phoning the prayer team. And over the years that I've seen, I have seen so many answers to prayer. Not just heard about it, but actually seen it happen. The night I did my training, first night and the first night on the prayer team, whilst I was training down in Taunton, we'd had a message to say that Claire had gone into labour. I was about to become a granddad. Grampy, not granddad. And now my youngest calls me Bampy, which is even cuter. And I can remember about 1 o'clock in the morning, because I decided to go down and sit on the prayer team that night. I was super keen by then. That soon. It hasn't stopped, Leon. And then we had a text message about 1 o'clock in the morning. Claire's been taken down for an emergency cesarean. Hang on a second. So at that point, my dad head just went absolutely nuts because I was about to become a granddad, and my daughter was having not just a cesarean, but the word emergency on anything with medical, and you start thinking. But then the team came back and they all gathered around me and prayed. It's always choked me up, this one. Because I've saw an answer to prayer. And it's strange. I can remember the bit of road exactly. So I went home, full on dad mode, but remembering the team had just prayed for me. And that's why I love the prayer team so much. Is that at one point, I remember driving right down the hill, around the corner. I can remember the bit of road. I just felt suddenly so, so peaceful. As if God was saying, it's okay. It's under control. I've got this. And I looked at the clock. It was 2:45. Remember that. But then I went around the next corner, full on dad mode again. And I don't think when I got home, we got much sleep less than that, do we? But about 5:45, we had another text from Bob. Robert William Anthony Palmer, born. 2:45. And I just thought, that's answered a prayer because the team had prayed. And that's a special one for me, because I'm not necessarily related to Street Passes, but it's the value of the prayer team. And we have seen fights stop because we've prayed about it. And I would dearly love if I'm going to need to shut up, I think, to see people praying for us regularly. I'd love it if two or three of you could gather, maybe on the nights I go down, even just for half an hour to pray at 10:30 for when we go out. And genuinely, I would love it if some of you, or even one or two of you, would like to come down at some point. To be a street pastor, observer, you have to be over 18. That's the one rule, isn't it? That is the only rule. You have to be over 18. Talk to me. Come on down. Experience it. And maybe, but if you can't come down, at least pray for us. Maybe regularly pray for us. So I said just now that if you get people talk about prayer passes, you need street passes, you need a 2-hour service because we don't stop. And no, so I am going to stop because otherwise we will be here and there's a roast chicken with my name on it. So let's stand and sing together our final hymn. And when I was choosing the hymns, I looked at the list earlier on when I got here. I can't remember why I picked some of them, but this one, I do remember why I picked this one, because yes, I absolutely love it. But it's the chorus for me. It says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And we know that because he lives, we can face whatever we find on the streets of Weymouth. So let's stand and sing our closing hymn.